Everyone, good evening. I want to call the Warwick City Council Finance Committee to order. The time is. I'll call the Finance Committee to order. The time is 5:03. First on our agenda is acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on January 27th. Do I have a motion? I have a motion. I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next, we have the acceptance of the minutes for the consent calendar. I need a motion.
So moved.
I have a motion. I need a second.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, moving on. We have zero items before us this evening that are above the $50,000. We do have four that are under the $50,000. With that said, I would ask if there's any members of the committee would like to have any items pulled.
I'm good.
No.
Any members of the city council would like to have any items pulled from the bid package? Do we have any items from, or any members of the public have any questions or would like to have any items pulled for questions in the bid package? I had just a couple of questions on the LifePak 35 items, the batteries, and I spoke to the deputy chief on that earlier today. And what I was told was that with these batteries that we get, which we use to charge in the vehicles, they don't come with chargers. So we can't charge them like in the office or in the station or anything like that. So in order to keep the spare batteries charged and ready to roll, we need to purchase these chargers to do that. And, you know, as you all know, I kind of squeeze every nickel and dime that I can, and I had to agree with the explanation on that. So anything else? Any other members of the public have any questions or concerns? Okay. Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move favorable action.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second.
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Next item will be number 2025-364. Which one did I skip? Oh, okay, sorry. Will be PCO 15-24, an ordinance clarifying the rehiring of municipal retirees on a limited basis without interrupting pension benefits. That is sponsored by Councilman Sinapi on behalf of Mayor Picozzi. This is for second passage. Any questions from members of the committee?
No.
Any questions or comments from members of the council? Chief of Staff, do you have any comments? No comments from the chief as well. Do we have any comments or questions from members of the public? Any comments or questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I will need a motion.
Motion, move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. Now moving on to 2025-364. So,
We went there. We did that. None of them over 50.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, we're done. we are done. This is going to be the fastest meeting of the night. I can assure you of that. Okay. Motion adjourned.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. I'm sorry? 508. Thank you.
Next up this evening will be the Intergovernmental Committee, but that committee cannot begin until 5:50 p.m. So we will reconvene the next committee, the Intergovernmental Committee, at 5:50 p.m. 5:50. Thank you.
Good evening. Time is 5:50 and the Intergovernmental and Appointments Committee comes to order. I know we've got a lot of business before the committee and the council tonight. This committee also has a fair amount of business. We're going to try to get the quick items done first. Then we're going to move on to, as long as there's no concerns from other members of the committee, we'll get PCR 2325 off of our plates. And then we will close with, I think, the reason that most folks are here in the room today, PCR 1515. Is that acceptable for everyone? All right. So kicking it off, first, we have acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on October 7th, 2024, actually. So
motion move favorable.
Okay. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on January 13th, 2025.
Motion more favorable.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on January 22nd, 2025.
Motion to move favorable.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, excellent. So first up, we have a reappointment to the Board of Canvassers, Edward Murphy. Mr. Murphy's CV and appointment memo are included in everyone's paperwork. Do any members of the committee have any questions or comments on the reappointment of Mr. Murphy to the Board of Canvassers? Okay. No questions from the committee. Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. No questions. I just want to comment on Mr. Murphy. I've known him for a very, very long time. Just an honorable gentleman, successful business person here in the city, and has done an exceptional job with the Board of Canvassers, very active, particularly during election time when there has been occasions to have to reach out to him. He's just a great job in that position, and I'm very happy to support him. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council wish to offer any testimony on Mr. Murphy's appointment? Seeing none, any members of the public have anything to add on Mr. Murphy's appointment? Members of the public? Seeing none, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, turning the page. We have three new members being appointed to the Land Trust. I've spoken with the chair of the Land Trust, also with the city council solicitor. So our rules require that new appointees to any board or commission that come before this honorable body be present for their initial appointment should members have questions or comments. Two of our appointees for this evening, unfortunately, are not able to be here due to other conflicts. So we are going to move to hold on both of those. So let's take care of that first. So first up is Ms. Arlene Napa. Councilman DeLuise, could I have a motion to hold this to our next meeting?
I'd make a motion to hold that to the next meeting.
Thank you. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Recuse.
That'd be Ward 3. We'll do the same thing for the next one, AJ Pandey. Do I have a motion, Councilman, to hold?
I'll make a motion to hold.
Okay.
Second.
All right. And a vote?
Aye.
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 All right. 4-0 to hold to our next meeting. Somebody have the date handy for our next meeting? 24th? All right. February 24th. Okay, next up, Tyler. Oh boy. Tyler Maketh. Tyler? Tyler's present. With the chairwoman of the Land Trust. Tyler, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Jane, thank you for accompanying him. Tyler, you want to say anything about your interest in serving on the Warwick Land Trust?
Hi. Yeah, I'm Tyler Maketh. I live in Ward 5 in Warwick, and I'm pleased to be considered for the Land Trust Committee tonight. I've lived in Warwick since 2021. And I work in land conservation professionally. I also serve on the board of the Rhode Island Land Trust Council. And I look forward to helping the city in its land conservation goals.
Thank you very much for your service thus far on the State Land Trust Commission. And we look forward to having you on the city's land trust. Any members of the committee have any questions or comments for Mr. Maketh?
No.
Any members of the council? Councilman Lattiser?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to just extend my appreciation to Mr. Maketh for stepping up to the plate to serve on this commission. Admittedly, I do not know you well, but your resume more than speaks for itself. You are extremely competent to be on this board, and your experience is so welcome and so needed. The recommendation from Chairwoman Austin on your behalf also carried a lot of weight with me. So I would like to thank you for reaching out and volunteering to serve on this very important commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Anyone else, any other members of the council wish to offer any comments? No? Members of the public. Jane, you're welcome at this time if you like.
Yes, I just want to thank you very much for taking Tyler's nomination under consideration. I'm sorry that our other two members had a conflict tonight, because we're very excited about building up our strength as a land trust. And so we will be back here in 2 weeks with two more members. And I would also mention that we still have room in wards 3 and 9 to help fill out our ranks. And it's extremely valuable from the standpoint of your own ward to have someone who knows your own community, is in connection with your neighborhood groups, knows what the natural resources are. So we look forward to having our numbers increase. So thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Ms. Austin. We appreciate your testimony tonight. Any other members of the public have anything to add? Okay, seeing none, do I have a motion?
Motion to move for a favorable appointment.
Second.
Thank you. Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Favorable action. Welcome to the Land Trust. All right. At this point, we're going to shuffle to the last item on our docket if there are no objections. This is a resolution requesting the General Assembly to consider adopting policies authorizing municipalities to contract with the Rhode Island Department of Transportation to perform minor routine maintenance work on state roads. This is Council President Sinapi. Council President? Oh, you are correct. I missed an appointment. Bottom of the page. All right. Last up for appointments tonight is for our municipal court judge. Cannot leave her off. The Honorable Kelly McElroy. Similar to the others. Paperwork is in your packet, as well as her impressive credentials. And I think her service to the city speaks for itself over the past several years. She's incredible to work with. Any members of the committee have any questions or comments on Ms. McElroy's appointment, reappointment?
I have none. No.
Okay, hearing none, any members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Yes, I'd just like to briefly thank Judge McElroy for continuing to serve. It's a difficult position, but very important for Warwick and its residents. Really, I've heard nothing but good things about her service on the municipal court. It's not an easy job to have all of that balance, because really the reason why we have a municipal court in the first place is to try to make things a little bit more convenient for residents rather than have everybody sent on down to the district court, have hearings ideally at times that are a bit more ideal, but oftentimes the job does involve enforcing the law in a way that the particular resident who's in front of the municipal court isn't necessarily going to be happy about how the law is being enforced. The key is that as long as everyone is being treated with respect, having the opportunity to be heard, that's key. So that's my brief comments on that position. And I think that Kelly McElroy is doing a fantastic job in that position. I would also just one brief aside here. I actually just noticed this as I was double-checking the agenda. I saw that the appointment is, it looks like the term is slated to be up as of October 1, 2027. The Code of Ordinances specifies that it be a term of 3 years from the date of appointment. So that's an item that I just wanted to have noted on the record. I'm not sure if the reappointment technically went through on October 1st, but when it comes to the length of the term, wanted to make sure to mention that. Thank you.
Thank you for your diligence, Councilman.
Do we
need to make any sort of amendment here?
No. We do not.
Per the clerk, the term expired, so it's to continue in that timeline, so it's including the time that has occurred since her last appointment had expired.
Does that make sense, Councilman?
I can see that. I think that as a more technical matter, it really should be 3 years from the date that the appointment actually comes through, with the holdover period not necessarily held. However, it's between October 2027 and February 2028, it's not exactly an election year or anything of that nature. So I don't see any issue there.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council? Members of the public, anyone wish to comment on Judge McElroy's reappointment? Coming once. Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve Judge McElroy's renewed term?
Motion to approve favorable action.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Okay. Moving back to PCR 2325. This is a resolution requesting the GA to consider adopting policies for municipalities to contract with the Rhode Island DOT. Councilman, Council President Sinapi.
So this mirrors a law in Pennsylvania. The purpose is to hopefully help address some of the issues we see every day and run into every day, especially with constituent concerns when there's an issue on a state road in one of our wards and a constituent rightly says, hey, can you get XYZ fixed? And we're stuck simply pointing them towards the state. And the state obviously has dominion over a large amount of land that they have to worry about, and they have a lot of projects. So what they are able to get to is not necessarily what anyone would define as in a timely manner. This, in theory, would allow the city to ask the state, hey, there's XYZ problem. We can fix it. We can get it addressed. Please just reimburse us. And if the state says yes, then we can go forward and do that and get reimbursed. So it's really that straightforward. As far as if whether or not the state will be on board with this, that I can't tell you because I don't know. I'm hoping they will be, and even if they're not okay with the language as written, that they will be open to doing it a different way, because obviously there are other ways you could potentially do this. The only reason why I presented the language as it stands is because there's another state that already currently actively does this and does so successfully. So that's why the language is as it stands.
Thank you, Council President. This seems like common sense, good government. Can I assume you've discussed this with DPW or Highway or the administration in some way?
Yes, and the concern is similar to what I just raised as far as will the state actually be on board with doing it? And I've honestly been mentioning this legislation for years and wanting to do it, and I finally found a state that already did, which makes everything in theory much easier, because one of the big concerns often at the General Assembly is how are we going to do XYZ? It's never been done. This, thankfully, has been done and apparently done well.
Okay, excellent. Is there any, I see in point D contained in the last line nine, contains in sections XXX. Do we need to do any housekeeping there, or is that to be?
So I'm leaving that up to the legislative department at the General Assembly as far as how they want to handle it.
Okay, so where it would be located in state law, essentially.
Exactly. So, because okay. On our end, obviously, we're just passing a resolution saying we support this concept, this idea. Here's our suggestion. What they do with it, in turn, remains to be seen.
Okay. And this in no way would somehow, you know, push financial liability for maintaining roads which belong to the state onto the municipality. It'd be more of a, hey, this makes sense for us to do XYZ and submit for reimbursement type of scenario.
Yes, and then as it's written, it's a case by case basis. Granted, if they, my suggestion in the long term would be that they do this, try it, hopefully like it, and then decide they want to expand the scope of it. Like Pennsylvania does other things where they have far more sweeping approaches so that you don't need to do it on every scenario. Like for a snow removal, they have a way to do it differently. However, start small, so I figured we'd go with this version of it that they do. And as you notice, it also addresses liability as well. That way we don't get stuck in trouble / the state.
Okay, thank you, Council President. Any members of the committee? Councilman Apple.
Council President, just one question. Was there any thought given to attaching a timeline of for timely reimbursement. As we can imagine, the state may not be timely with reimbursing if we're taking money out of general fund or whoever we're appropriating to do the repair. Was that language found in the Pennsylvania legislation for a period of time, or just simply language just to indicate that we expect timely reimbursement?
So I went out of my way not to alter the language, so that way no one at the General Assembly can say we're trying to reinvent the wheel or do it differently, and they can't say whether or not it will work. That being said, your concern is addressed by subpart A, where for each project, it's not simply just a, hey, can you do this? And the other side saying, yeah, we can do it, or vice versa. It's a formal contract will be in there. So in that contract, timelines, et cetera, everything can be laid out accordingly.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the committee?
Nope.
Members of the council? Seeing none, any members of the public have any comments or concerns on PCR 2325?
Yes, good evening. Michelle Comar, Ward 1. In concept, I think this is a great idea. Sometimes state work is kind of slow and there's a pothole to be fixed or a sign that fell down and we can take care of it. My concern would be we can't keep up with our own potholes in the city. And the claims committee knows this well because people come in here with claims all the time. We can't keep up with the repaving of our roadways. And now we want to take on state roadways. I do not want to see any more debt taken on by the taxpayers to repair state roadways. We have debt and bonds that we'll put together to repair local Warwick roadways. So that would be a concern of mine. The other concern is about the liability. Let's say, for instance, City of Warwick, under this agreement, fixes a pothole and it pops open right away. It's not compacted. Who's liable for it? Does the person that was injured, car damaged, file a claim with the state or with the city? That's a big issue that I see needs to be worked out. And the last thing is, the council is aware that the City of Warwick, just like all municipalities in the state, put together a priority list for DOT. I don't know how often they do it, every year. It's called a TIP, Transportation Improvement Program. You pick out which roads, state roads, you really feel need to be worked on. And that's our real mechanism for the long term of getting roads fixed, instead of patching over state roads that pop up, or the seam between two coats pops up and creates potholes. So those are my concerns here. I know the council president explained it's been adopted by a state, but I see problems. And I see more debt taken on by the City of Warwick taxpayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Comar. Any other members of the public have any comments to make? Last chance. All right, seeing none, do we have a motion?
Motion to move favorable action.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 4-0, motion carries, favorable action. Okay. Now we are to the meat of the work before this committee, which is PCR 15-25. This is a resolution to the General Assembly requesting authorization of a special election of the voters of the city to revoke authority for further issuances of indebtedness pursuant to the $350 million authorization for the construction of two new high schools. This is submitted by Councilman Lattiser, and this is our first hearing on this resolution. Councilman, I'll give you the option if you'd like to say your piece now or when I come around to the rest of the council, your discretion.
I will hold my comments until after I hear from my colleagues and members of the public, but I will say I am the prime sponsor of this legislation. Obviously, I am in 100% support of it. The legislation in itself does not stop the two schools. What it simply does is sends a request to the General Assembly for their permission to put this on a special election ballot to be voted on by the members of the city of Warwick. And I'll hold back on my other comments until I've heard from everyone else.
Thank you, Councilman. Okay, so we're being asked to consider tonight a special election to stop the construction of the high schools, which have already gone to an election of the citizens of Warwick, who overwhelmingly supported it. We've got members of the school committee, administration, the building team, all here and actively not working on the schools. But we will hear from them should they have anything to add. We also have members of the public. I want to make sure that every member of the public is heard on this, that their voice be heard by the members of the committee and of the council. I'm going to go around briefly to the members of the committee and the council if they have any opening remarks. We're going to treat this somewhat like a public hearing. So after we do brief remarks amongst my colleagues, I will open it up. So members who would like to speak in favor of this proposal may come up to the mic first, followed by members, I'll call it out separately, members who are in opposition to this proposal. And we'll run through those until we've exhausted everyone who'd like to speak. What I would say is this evening, there's a lot of business before the council. We have several public hearings for which we've hired a stenographer. There's folks with, development projects. So we're bound by state law to go through that process. And so the stenographer will arrive around 7, which is when we begin our council meeting. We also have executive session tonight where we have outside legal coming to speak with us about certain matters. So we do have several events happening at 7 o'clock. My goal here would be for as much of the public comment to happen before 7 o'clock as humanly possible, because I would feel bad for folks who have come down here and sacrificed their night to be stuck waiting for the council to conclude the time-sensitive business before we come back out here. Do any members of the committee want to make any brief remarks? Oh, I'm sorry. One more thing on the public comment. When you come up in your group of in support or in opposition, just noting that we have about 45 minutes before some of those events kick off. If someone said what you wanted to say, by all means, come up. But you can say, they articulated what I would like to say, or I agree with them. Or you can raise your hand when they say and say, I think that way too. But we want to get as many voices heard, not discouraging anyone from speaking. But let's make sure we can get through this. So any members of the committee have anything to add?
Mr. Chairman, I do have one question on procedure, please. May I?
Councilman?
So when we get to 7 o'clock, if we have not completed the public comment and I have not delivered my full presentation, we will adjourn into the regular meeting. Once we get through the pledge and the other items, are you going to return right back to this item?
My understanding is that due to the timeliness nature of having the stenographer coming and having outside counsel here to visit with us, that we will take care of those two items and then come back to this committee.
So with that said, then anticipating what I think is going to happen, I'm going to request that I be allowed to make my comments at 10 minutes to 7. If this isn't going to hold this until the general public has an opportunity to continue voicing their opinions till 11 o'clock, is ridiculous.
Thank you, Councilman. Let's get into, let's do, so did we have any members of the committee who wanted to add anything?
I will, but later I'll let the public do their
conversation. Any members of the council before we get started? I'd like to get to the public as soon as possible. All right, so let's start with public comment. Any members who would like to speak in favor of PCR 15-25? This would be in favor of sending a resolution to the General Assembly to revoke authority on building the new high schools. Please step to the podium. Just to help you out, if you go on our, there's dockets over there, but essentially what's before us tonight is a resolution to the General Assembly asking them to put a ballot measure on the ballot to stop building the high schools. I have to hold you there. That if you go on the City Council website, you will see the related documents there. You can pull that up on your phone. Please state your name and where you're from.
Okay. Good evening, Council. Michelle Comar, Ward 1 in Warwick. I'm in favor of this resolution. I really think it's necessary. But I also think there's another mechanism to achieve the same thing. And I'd like to open with two questions to the school department, if they're here, if not, the school committee. And one question, Chair, is what is the overrun, the shortcoming now, over the $350 million?
As of today?
So as of today, because the last time we met at City Council on the special meeting on January 22nd, it was $37.8 million. And then the answer was given at that meeting, but I think people might want to hear it again. Who pays for the $350 million bond? That includes the interest, the construction, engineering, supplying the schools with materials and furniture. Who pays for that and who sets the schedule that fits our budget to pay back the debt so that taxpayers are not burdened to the extent that they can't pay their tax bills? Thank you. Those questions first, please.
So the chairman has stepped up. Just in terms of the testimony tonight, if we can avoid relitigating the entirety of the basis for the schools, we can absolutely get an update on where things stand today. And I think the chairman's ready and prepared to answer those questions. So I'm going to direct him to do so now. Do you have any other questions?
Those are the questions, and those questions will help me for my last comments. Okay. Thank you.
Chairman.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the council. The number is 23 million estimated. And 17 million of that is still contingency.
So, Chairman, you're stating that as of today, the project is forecasted to be over budget by $23 million?
Correct.
And you still have 17
Yes.
million in reserve in contingency in the project?
Correct.
Okay. And to the to the speaker's second question, to Ms. Comar's second question, who pays for the $350 million bond?
I believe the taxpayers.
I think that's an accurate answer.
Thank you.
Ms. Comar.
Yes, thank you. And the other part of that question was, who decides on how much debt at what rate we pay back? And again, this answer was given at the other meeting, but I think everybody would like to hear about it.
Oh, the duration of the payback
right.
period of the bond.
Who dictates that?
Can I? Of the $350 million loan or bond, 178 million of that is reimbursed on the principal. Excuse me, 174 million. My apologies.
All right, let's get to Ms. Komar's second question. Third question, which is about the determination on the payback period, which I believe is a city matter. So, Chief, I don't know if you want to speak to that.
You're not the mayor. Bill Facenzi, Chief of Staff. Right now there are 20-year bonds. The interest rate is at the time of sale. So we haven't sold those bonds. So.
Okay.
So we don't. When you sell the bonds, that's when the interest rate is determined, what the repayment rate is.
But my point being is the city side, not the school department, correct, dictates how those monies or taxpayers' monies are spent to pay back the school debt.
I believe that to be true, and I think the chief just confirmed.
So the mayor authorizes the spending, the issuance of the bonds, the sale of the bonds.
Okay. Thank you. So that figure that we were just given, 174 million, is being reimbursed. And the bonds haven't been issued. How do we know that figure? Because in the bond referendum, it was a minimum of 45% reimbursement. So
we could get an expert to answer that question, but I believe there's an MOU between the district and RIDE where the reimbursement is agreed upon. I'm getting a lot of nodding heads, so I think
we're just figuring it's going to be around that. The bonds haven't been released yet.
The bonds haven't been released yet, but the MOU has been signed between the district and RIDE authorizing reimbursement of that amount.
Okay, thank you. I got it. All right, so you can see how much the school deficit, the school debt for these bonds is going to affect taxpayers and the city budget as well. And I think that the taxpayers were just expecting $350 million. And actually, I was in the voting booth and I took a picture of the question in the ballot box. And in there it says, an act authorizing the city of Warwick to issue not to exceed $350 million general obligation bonds, notes, and other evidences of indebtedness to finance the construction, blah, 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 you know, put the school all together. I'll stop there because I want to emphasize and not to exceed $350 million general obligation bonds, notes, and other evidences of indebtedness to finance the construction of these two new schools to replace the old schools. How are we going to make up? How the school department proposing to make up, which we now found is, what, $23 million?
That's what the chairman just stated.
Or what is it? I'm sorry?
23. That's what the chairman
23,
stated.
Right. Yep. How are we going to finance that 23? Because what the taxpayers sign on to is no other indebtedness. So they can't go out and borrow more money because that's on the taxpayer to pay back that loan. And then I think that violates, I want to use the word violate, it's pretty strong, what the voters sign on to. And I think the resolution is great, but if the school department takes out, or the city has to take out any more debt over and exceeding that $350,000, I think they're in trouble. They haven't followed what the General Assembly allowed them to put on the ballot in fairness to the taxpayers, because that was the safeguard. It didn't say keep spending money. And keep letting the taxpayers put in more money because you can't stick to your $350,000 original. I think all this has to do is somebody has to stop this, whether it's the mayor, the city council, or a judge to put an injunction. Because the school department right now, just based on what I've heard, cannot fit what the taxpayers signed on in the voting booths. and approved, which was 350 million. That's it. Not to exceed it, not to take any more debt. We can't have cakewalks and make up $23 million. We're going to have to get another loan, and that's not allowable. I think that exceeds what the Warwick voters voted for. So I think there are other mechanisms. If the council doesn't ask the General Assembly, there are other mechanisms to stop this. We could do our own cleanup in-house and be reasonable about it, that there's more debt than what the voters voted for, and that's coming our way. And, you know, the numbers keep changing. They've changed. Yes. One moment. Thank you. The numbers have changed over the budget deficit from $9 million to something else. I mean, the numbers changed here for the school bond. It was 27.8 just last month. Now it's 23. But really what bothers me is there's very little accountability demonstrated by, and I'll say the school committee because that's who I have contact with, where former chairs think, or have said at meetings, the meeting in October, it's the mayor and the city council that fix the tax rate. It's their problem. It's like the school department, school committee have no effect on what taxpayers have to budget, both on their personal lives, how are they going to pay their taxes. So I really think the city, I'm asking the city to do their best. If $350 million doesn't work, I'm sorry, you broke your deal with the taxpayers that signed on to it, and the project should be stopped. Stop there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Kumar. Next up.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. Well, I really didn't want to come here to remind you people of certain facts, but now I feel compelled to do so. Exactly 3 years ago and 3 days, February 7, 2022, on the Zoom meeting, I told the entire city council and the school committee and the building committee that you could not build these schools for $350 million. But you didn't listen. I went to numerous school department, school committee meetings and city council meetings, as you all recall. And I told everybody, being in the building of school, that's what I do, 30 years in that industry. I said, the bare minimum you will build these schools for is $382 million. And you didn't listen. And you postponed it on the school committee side. Mr. Testa held a third-party review, held it up for months, didn't tell anybody. And then the former city council president decides to pay $85,000 to Alana to do a third-party review, which held it up for 6 months. And they came back with $383 million for 85 grand. You know what everyone was lacking during this time? The ability to do fifth grade math. School committee, school department, city council, particularly the mayor's office as well. Simple mathematics that predicted this. But none of you listened. I've been in favor of building schools. I'm the one that came here 10 years ago screaming, don't put money into Warwick Vets. It should have been bulldozed into the ground in the 70s. Spent another, what, 80, 90 million into Vets, blowing money. All right. The key point of all this, and I want new schools, but what you said, and here's the act, chapters 50-53, local acts, an act authorizing the city of Warwick to issue not to exceed $350 million. That was what was sold to the taxpayers. Now, if the taxpayers want to spend $385 million, $400 million, I'm all for it. All right? I want new schools. But what I don't want is misrepresentation. And that's what's taken place since day one. Misrepresentations. We've knocked off 103,000 square feet from what these people have sold. Ms. Danbrook, and I love you to death. I tell you this all the time. Remember what you said? It's like buying one and getting one for free. Sure. If you don't take into consideration the juice we got to pay on the bond, sure, let's make believe that doesn't exist, along with the $452 million of unfunded liabilities that we have for health care, along with the 14% raises that you just gave everybody, along with the other bonds that we have outstanding. So let me ask you, since you're the chairman, Mr. Gephardt, because I don't see anyone from the Finance Committee here. I don't see the mayor here. So this is a simple yes or no question. And really, I would like to hear a yes or no from every one of the council members. Based upon the debt that we have now, and we're going to build these two magnificent schools for however much it is, $350, $375. Based on these, we had a meeting 2 weeks ago that we had a special meeting for a $9 million deficit, and 5 days later, you gave away 14% raises. Can anybody tell me, yes or no question, when we compile all this, come July 1st, who can tell me and tell the rest of the taxpayers what their tax rate will be? Do you know the answer to that? Simple question, yes or no. Do you know the answer to that?
I think
it was a yes or no question.
No, I don't have a magic wand.
Mr. Napa, do you have the answer to that, yes or no?
We couldn't possibly know that until we get the budget aligned.
Mr. Muto, do you know? Well, I have questions for the council members. I have the right to ask every council member a question.
You can ask your questions.
You're going to play
them. Be clear. This is a hearing, or rather, this is a committee meeting, which is currently discussing the topic of a resolution that is before us. It is not an interrogation of the city council or any of its members as individuals. If you have questions or comments on the resolution, we both welcome them and look forward to hearing them. However, you should ask those questions and comments to those for which it is applicable. So, if you have a question as to what the impact on the tax roll will be, that is a question for the administration. And there are members of the administration here who could, in theory, address that for you. If they cannot, then I'm sure they will happily get an answer for you. However, if they do not, I highly recommend you reach out to your council person so that they will get the answer for you. We're not going to turn this into a circus or a farce.
Well, this is not an interrogation, and I know several members of the audience that have reached out to all of their council members, and no one can give that answer. And, in fact, from Mr. Schaefer, we don't have that answer. The only thing that we had from Mr. Schaefer was that based upon the school bond, during the construction and the payback of the bond, he painted the picture stating that the city could either see a $2 million surplus or a $35 million annual deficit during the course of the bond. That's all he said. That's like the weatherman stating tomorrow could be 90 degrees, but we could get a 1,000-year blizzard. It's not being specific. And my point, and it's not an interrogation, Mr. Sinapi, is can anybody intelligently tell the taxpayers of what they're going to be facing? And that's all I'm saying. I want you to build new schools, right? I'll be able to pay the taxes, but there's people that is very sensitive to the general public that have genuine concerns, and no one has addressed them to this date. We don't know what the bond interest rate is. No one's talked about the $11.7 million bonding fee. We haven't compiled all this to give everyone an accurate representation of what the future holds for them in terms of liability to the city. That's my only point.
Mr. Cody, would you mind if I asked for a representative from the city to step up
to the
microphone?
I would love you to do that.
All right. Chief.
Bill Facente, Chief of Staff. So answer Mr. Cody's question at this time, no, I cannot tell him what the tax rate will be July 1st. We don't anticipate, if we do sell the bonds, we don't anticipate selling all the bonds during the year. It's a progression of sale until we hit the $350 million in sale.
And how long is the term of the bond that you're anticipating?
Through the chair, sir.
How long is the term of the bond that you're anticipating?
I believe we're anticipating 20-year bonds.
Okay. So as of this date, the city has no idea of what the projected tax rate will be.
Correct. There's a lot of assumptions, a lot of variables and revenues. And
the city has given a range based on what could be expected in terms of bond issuances, bond interest rates, and a variety of other factors, but I'll leave it at that.
So we know two things for certain, that the taxes will not remain the same and that the taxes will not go down. Is that accurate or fair to say?
I can't comment on that, no.
That's all I got.
Thank you, Mr. Cody.
And so to illustrate for everyone, that's how this should go. If you have a question, rather than asking a council person, you should request that your question be asked at the administration. The administration provide an answer. It might not be the answer everybody wanted to hear, but it's an answer. Asking the council members about information that the administration is supposed to know doesn't do anyone any good.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Joyce Winstead Butler. I own Winstead's Marina in Warwick Cove. I'm here. I'm deathly against the building of the two new schools. They are not needed. They need just the schools that we have to be worked on. We don't have the money. We're in a financial mess right now. This was not planned, this bond, to allow for future timing when the work would start. I know myself working. You have to have figures based knowing that products are going to go up in price, and now we're in a mess. We don't have enough money for schools, and yet we're cutting back on all the necessities that these kids would need. I just don't think it's fair, and I just heard from the previous people speaking, taxes will go up again. So does that mean I've got to raise the rates on boat slips again? Does anybody else who owns a business in Warwick have to raise their rates because taxes are going up again? Because this was not figured ahead of time? I'm against it. Absolutely. It has to go for revote. There's no doubt in my mind. And I've attended Warwick schools here when Warwick Deck School first opened. I attended Vets 69. I graduated. Following year was the beginning of double sessions to build Tollgate. Tollgate's the last school to be built, and it's the first one to be torn down. Think about it.
Thank you, Ms. Butler.
That's not right. That's all I have to say. I am against it, and it should go for revote.
Thank you, Ms. Butler. Sir, state your name and carry on.
Don Fife, Ward 1. Council President, members of the City Council. I'm against the two new schools being built. When I was in Warwick Veterans High School, when she mentioned Warwick Vets was built in 1956, I graduated in 1961. At that time, we had 20,000 students in Warwick in only one high school, Warwick Veterans High School. We had double sessions that she mentioned. My homeroom was in the auditorium.
Pardon me, sir.
Pardon?
Can you just do the best to tie it back to, should we have a referendum on stopping the work on building the two new schools?
Why can't we renovate what we have instead of building from scratch? Private industry does it. Johnston was going to build a new school, and they changed their mind, and they're going to renovate what they got. East Providence did it too. Private industry does it because it's cheaper. And the administration says it will cost the same. That's not true, because private industry renovates. They, like Market Basket, they bought Home Goods and renovated the building. Lockwood was bought and they built an apartment building. It's cheaper. Warwick is $1 billion in debt, B with a billion. And we just can't afford it. Even the mayor, and it's quoted in the Warwick Beacon, And I'm going to quote what he said. He said, people will be forced out of their homes because they can't afford the property taxes. And that was in the October issue of 2022. We don't need two dual schools either, only one. And it was brought up right here in City Council that they want to build two because the kids that are not going to have a new school will feel bad. Well, gee, that's amazing. We can't afford it. Let them pay for it. And it should go for a new vote with the real price of the schools. Shortly after the bond was passed, after the $350 million bond was passed, it was in the War Beacon either 1 month or 2 months after, they said, the experts said, it would cost more like $400 million instead of $350. And prices keep going up. Can't afford it. And now, well, 1961, we had 20,000 students in Warwick. Today, we got a little less than 8,000 students. Those people left. And people say, well, if you build two new high schools, high tech, people will come. No. History will just repeat itself. People will leave. Taxes will be higher. You can't afford them now. I'm a senior citizen. What is a senior citizen supposed to do? We can't even get a veteran's discount raised because it's been years, or a senior citizen's discount. And can you tell us what the property taxes will be when these schools are built? No, probably not. We keep asking, we don't get an answer. Rhode Island's got problems. We can't build a bridge. We can't.
Sir, can you keep it to the two high schools? We've heard that we have a lot of debt. The mayor said people will be taxed out of their schools. We don't think we need two new schools, and we need to have a new vote. Any other themes that you want to make sure that we hear? I just want to make sure everyone else gets a chance to speak.
And they say, well, we can't renovate because Rise won't let us.
I have renovate too, yes.
And who is Rise? Why do they, are they with all the schools? They tell all the schools or just work?
RIDE?
Yes, because
RIDE is the statewide body that.
Because Johnson is going to renovate what they got. They were going to build and they changed their mind. East Providence renovated what they had. Why can't we? They say people will come. No, people will leave again. There won't be anybody here except me. I can't afford it. We can't afford it. Senior citizens cannot afford this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fife. Thank you for your service. Did you find what you needed?
I think I'm in the right place now. My apologies on the parliamentary procedure.
You're good.
Stuff.
You're good. State your name just for the record.
Yep. My name is Colin McMahon, Ward 5. I moved here to Warwick in December 2019, purchased my first house here. I got stationed here with the United States Army. I recently retired in November, and I've decided to make Warwick my permanent home.
Thank you.
So thank you to the council members and the people of Warwick for passing this bond measure to invest in the future of Warwick. I have a six-year-old son who goes to Warwick Neck Elementary. You know, he plays T-ball. I coached him and Mark's son, Jack, this year. And I'm invested in making my family's future in Warwick. And the passing of that bond measure and the building of these schools is one of the reasons that my family has decided to make this our home. And building these schools is a great thing. I am concerned about this vote. I'm concerned in the political climate that it might not pass. We're going and asking the people of this town in, you know, not the best economic times, for more money after we've already voted for $350 million. You know, if it was up to me, I'd say, heck yeah, let's go. But in the current political climate, I'm concerned. So my questions, I have a couple questions. One being, what do we do then if it doesn't pass? Do we go back to, now we need to cut programs? Is that the answer? Okay. Is there somebody that could answer that question?
So just housekeeping. I didn't want to send you away again because we already sent you away once. We were in the part of the commentary about being in favor of this proposal, which is to kill the high schools. You are clearly in opposition to this proposal. You would like us to continue to build the high schools, which we appreciate. We want to hear from you.
So my understanding let me just clarify one thing. Yeah. So my understanding is the vote is to put
a measure
forward
on the ballot
to vote for more money.
To stop the high school projects for which we've already spent months and months and months of human hours, thousands of hours.
So there was some misinformation going on some of the different social media pages then. Yes. Thank you for the clarification. So, I apologize to everybody here for wasting time.
So if we were to move in favor of this today, we would take the $13 million we've already spent in preparing these projects. We'd throw it in the trash, light it on fire. We would have schools that are in desperate need of repair, which we would not have any money to do so.
I'm not in favor of doing that.
We would take $175 million of matching state money, and we would throw that in the garbage as well.
All right.
And we'd start all over. So excuse me, but thank you for your comments. Do you have anything else to add?
I am in favor of moving forward with building the schools. I apologize. Parliamentary procedure is not my thing.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your service.
You as well.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, my name's Mike Rainville. I live in Ward 4.
Just make sure the mic goes right in front of you.
Mike Rainville, Ward 4.
Mr. Rainville, nice to see you.
I support Ed Lattisaw's amendment to void the bond, and I'll give you my reason why. One, I think the taxpayers in general, most of them I talk to, we don't even know what this is going to cost in regards to tax rates. We should have been presented with that information beforehand. I think it was ill-prepared, ill-conceived, and unfair to the taxpayers. The second thing that I wanted to bring up is I'm concerned about the perpetual increases in taxes. It's been going on now for a few years, and we read the paper and they say it's going to go on for endless amounts of time. Me and my wife are retired. We only have so much. We don't have the money tree in the backyard, unfortunately. But what I would like to see is a more professional approach to getting these schools built. And that means getting the cost from the contractors up front, finding out what it's going to cost for the taxpayers, and then put it on the ballot and let the taxpayers have all the information. And that's really my concern. And that's really all. And just off the beat a little bit, I also support Councilman Rick's amendment that he came up with in regards to the school budget. I support
all right,
that 100%.
We have to stay focused just for open meeting. But Mr. Rainville, we very much appreciate it.
Okay.
If you actually just turn around, the entire professional staff that has spent thousands of hours working on these schools is actually sitting right there.
Well,
so your money's in good hands, but we appreciate your
comments. The taxpayers aren't aware of it. So if they're doing the job, they need to get the information out. Because I'm a CPA by vocation, and I can't make sense of any of the numbers that they have, to be honest with you.
I would like to see them
make a more professional approach and get it out to the taxpayers.
Chairman.
Mr. Rainville, we've had every 2 months for the last 6 months public meetings.
Right.
We'll continue that up until the point where we start breaking ground, at which time probably extend the duration between the meetings because all you'll hear is we poured more concrete today if we kept that frequency. So we've had them every 6 months, at which time we've constantly told the public where we're at financially with the project, designs, et cetera.
You didn't tell us what the tax rate's going to be. That's
That would be on the city side. I apologize,
that's,
sir.
That's the key.
Yes, sir.
The taxpayers would have been much more educated if they voted and knew how much it was going to cost them.
Apologies.
That's been my concern.
Thank you, Mr. Rainville.
Okay.
Can I say one thing?
Councilman.
So
Mr. Rainville, actually, if you wouldn't just stay up one more. There was a presentation conducted a couple of years ago when the bond was passed, what the estimations would be to the impact of a tax rate for education purposes.
Yes.
I didn't know if anyone was prepared to talk.
Mr. Tessa, you want to touch on that? You had a pretty good idea the other day. This is David Tessa, our chair of the building committee.
Thank you. If I remember correctly, you're talking when it was on the ballot or in anticipation of it being put on the... I'm sorry. Is that better?
That's better.
Is that okay? So, Councilman, you're talking about when, in anticipation of it going on to the ballot.
Yes.
We did a couple of public forums. Exactly. Yeah, I believe at the time, the estimate was based on the valuation back then, in I think 2022 or thereabouts. We had a few different scenarios with a couple of various different kinds of houses, what the tax rate was. And I believe at the time, the finance director then may have worked with the city finance department, but it was about $1 a thousand phased in over a five-year period. That's what I think it was, the general number on a typical house. And I think we had, Mr. McCaffrey, you can correct me if I'm wrong, we had four or five different examples, like a three-bedroom Cape. Right, it was, yeah, so.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Yeah, so this was based on an anticipated city share of the project of $185 million, which actually since then the city share is about $175 million because of increased incentives, reimbursement incentives. And it had, we had, for instance, the three-bedroom Cape located on Greenwood Avenue. The current assessed city value was $258,000. The range of the cost to the homeowner would have been $243 to $305 annually. And that was based on interest rate assumptions from anywhere from 2.5% to 5%. Now, again, this is...
That was
3 years ago.
That was 3 years ago.
Right.
It changed in 3 years.
Of course, valuations change. Yes.
What the taxpayers want today is what it's going to cost us now. And I bet you it's going to be 25 to 30% more in tax rate.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
No. You're okay. Yeah, so
that's been one of the complaints of the taxpayers. That's all.
Can you speak into the mic, Mr. Rainville, if you have comments?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That was one of the complaints of the taxpayers. It's outdated information. It's 3 years old.
I think we've heard you, we've heard from other speakers tonight that people want to know what will be the impact to my tax rate. I think we have all heard that loud and clear, and that is work that we need to do.
Yeah, but we haven't gotten it. That's the problem. The problem is that I think many taxpayers have asked their councilmen, they've asked City Hall. No one's got an answer. It's if, and, or but. In the real world, I think it would have been an easy sell if people knew exactly what it was going to cost
right.
them. But unfortunately, we're going down a road now where we don't have the information. That's been my major complaint with the way this bond issue was handled.
Thank you, Mr. Rainville.
Okay.
We can certainly do better. We appreciate your comments. Ms. Sheridan, please state your name.
Ian Sheridan, your lucky constituent, obviously from Ward 9, and you all know by now where I'm going with this. I agree with everybody that on this side that spoke, and I appreciate the dedication and hard work from all of the people that have worked in the school. The issue is the amount. I support what Council Malatasaur is saying, but what he's really saying is we need to limit to this to 350 at maximum. I mean, my concerns, one of them is that while the state is going to be reimbursing us for X number of dollars, that's going to be filtered into our budget over time. And while there's a guarantee, there's no guarantee as to how that's going to impact us. The other question that I have is whether everybody says the administration doesn't want to own up to what the costs are going to be. But when you do a commercial appraisal, a good appraiser does discounted cash flows and can expand over 10 years what the projections are going to be. So it's not without the ability of this administration to just sit down and say the God's honest truth. And I think if people had the truth, they would be on board. All people want to know is how much do I need to plan for? And there's one more last thought. There are 8,008 single-family homes in the city of Warwick that are owned by senior citizens, and that number's growing every day. And interestingly, we have 8,000 kids in our school system, and that number's declining every day. There needs to be a balance. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jordan. The time is 7 o'clock. I'm going to pause and turn around and look for guidance on where to go next from here.
So we're going to take a break of the committee because we have other matters that we don't really have much of a choice on in getting to. We're going to convene the full council, which we normally do at this time anyway. We have to go into executive session on a few matters because there are people waiting here. We're only here for a brief period of time, and then we will return back to the committee. So in all likelihood, we're hoping it would be no longer than 30 minutes, if not less, for executive session. I can't promise you that, but that's the hope. So this committee will be on hold, and everyone take your seats so we can convene the full council.
The committee stands temporarily adjourned.